This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 25th, episode 1617, brought to you today by our auditors. You guys, thank you. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, this is the therapy session today because there's so much hatred going on right now on social media, so much vitriol, everybody hates everybody. We're here to help you today. So I want everybody to just take a deep breath, go... It's all okay. It's all right. And to help us relax and take more deep breaths and really get into the day in a positive frame of mind, I have 4-year-old Claire sitting on the couch with her dad playing the guitar and singing Friend in Me. Take a listen, relax, chill, enjoy.
You got a friend. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from a nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Girl, you got a friend in me.
This is the second verse. I'm doing the second verse.
She's actually sitting on the couch with her eyes closed, singing and bobbing her head. And now I'm sure that you and your son sit on the couch and you play your guitar and you sing together.
Well, typically what happens is I bring out my guitar and I start playing and he goes, "Mommy, stop."
So no singing
hashtag life goals. Okay. Mommy, no singing. Stop it.
I did not teach him that, by the way. I did not teach him to tell you to stop
whatever.
Singing.
Whatever. Whatever. Liar. That's adorable. You're right.
Listen to that and go into the day negative, right?
Well, sadly, what I think of when I hear that is the fact that, okay, at the end of Toy Story 3, no spoilers, this movie is like 10 years old. At the end of the Toy Story 3, when Andy has to give all the toys away because he's going off to college, and then he drives away after leaving Woody and Buzz and all the friends on the porch with the little girl. It's so sad. And the mom has to say goodbye when he goes to college, and they're packing up his room. And just,
God, how many times has Lucas made you watch that movie?
I might have seen it a few times because we don't watch Toy Story 1.
Lucas made Jamie watch? Wait a minute.
Somebody made somebody watch it, Jen. No comment on the next part, okay? Jennifer, what are we doing on today's show? I don't even know.
Well, coming up on today's Wacky Wednesday edition, we are going to be packing it in. in with Andy Breland, who treks into the backcountry with his horses on the Nat Geo TV show Dead End Express. Liable to be some good stories there. And then after the break, we're going to enjoy another feelgoodhorselovers.com sweepstakes winner interview. And in between, you can expect a fair and balanced mix of equestrian-esque news headlines and woefully lame lists. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Well, happy birthday to Mike Donnell, who is the host of the Rodeo Marketing Show here on the Horse Radio Network. It's his birthday today. And I also want to do a special daily winnie out to Casey Berger. Just big hugs from us. You know why. But we love you, and we're giving you great big hugs this morning.
And that's what we're going to talk about.
It just
about.
Makes me laugh every time.
I love it. I love that you have two daily winning buttons to hit. The normal one. And then the
and
one
then
for
the
me.
And then the Jamie one.
And that's what I wanted to do. I've been practicing with my dear sweet little filly on wearing a halter because Chad for Christmas got me one of those baby strap around the halter things. And telling a little filly to first of all stand still and put your nose through this hole, yeah, do anything, is really difficult. And so I posted a picture of her looking pretty grumpy yesterday as I was hugging her and squeezing her and kissing her and putting a halter on. And one of my friends, Melanie Lawrence, who was like my childhood riding buddy, posted a video of a little filly. And you know those videos where you can make the horse talk? Dogs or horses.
Oh, the app you can get to do that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which are kind of creepy sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So she posted a picture and the baby actually looks like Zara.
It does.
And this is the audio from the video.
I have to listen closely here.
Keep that effing halter away from my face. I do not want it to touch me. I do not want it around me. I'm the boss of you, you're not the boss of me, but I love you very much, and I'm sorry when I kick you, I'm sorry when I bite you, not really, don't touch me with that halter.
You want to hear it again?
Keep that effing halter away from my face. I do not want it to touch me, I do not want it around me. I'm the boss of you, you're not the boss of me, but I love you very much. And I'm sorry when I kick you. I'm sorry when I bite you. Not really. Don't touch me with that halter.
And it looks like her.
It does.
It's weird.
I love the voice.
apparently, I'm not the only one who has had issues trying to halter a baby.
Don't it's touch just, me with that halter.
With that halter. I will not.
I'm sorry when I kick you. Okay. Not really.
So thanks, Mel. Appreciate it.
Your video yesterday, you know, when it's been a while since you've had to get a horse babies, you forget how energetic they are and how much they love to kick and play and just run around and drive their moms crazy.
Yeah.
And then you keep posting these videos and it just brings back memories. I just had forgotten how playful they are. At what, 4 days nonstop. Old, 5 days old, you know?
The day old, I mean. But we had so much rain here in the past, it's been like 2 weeks of rain, it seems. But we had so much rain the other day that it was raining during the day, so I couldn't turn her out. And so I've been turning her out in the puddles and everything, as you've seen, which I just have to. Because she spends her time with Pink in the middle of the stall. And the stall's like 16 by 16, so it's huge. And she spends the time galloping circles around Pink. And Pink just pivots, like nickering and pivots the whole way around. Like, where are you going? Where are you going? Like, she can't go anywhere. She's stuck in the stall. So she's galloping circles. So I just decided to put her out in the puddle. So I was like, well, if you fall, you fall, I guess. You know, you'll be all right. You're rubber. You bounce at this age. So
Has Pink filed the papers for mommy retirement yet? She's had enough.
You know, I was just talking to my friend about this last night. When a human has the first baby, they're like, oh my gosh, you like sterilize everything. Everything has to be a particular way. Most moms anyway, not me, but most moms, like, everything is really
Jamie,
meticulous.
2 days old, threw him in a mud pile.
I'm like, sit in the wheelbarrow. I got to clean stalls.
Do the stalls.
So exactly. So, but by the time you have like your third or fourth baby, you're kind of like, all right, here, you can have this, like, no big deal. By the time you have your sixth child, most mothers don't care anymore, you know, and this is Pink's sixth baby. So, and she's still a good mom. The animal kingdom is way smarter than we are. Like, she's meant to be a mom, you know. Six babies, I'd be like, all right, it came out, it's gonna stay there. I'll be fine. It'll survive. I guess that's what you do. And those of you who are listening that have multiple children know exactly what I'm talking about. You just, they'll be all right.
That's why my parents were. There were four boys. By the time my youngest brother, they didn't really care what he did.
No. And she's still a good mom with this baby. It's like she's never had one before. Like, God love you, Pink. You're a good girl.
Will you do me a favor? I posted in the show notes what Chris wrote yesterday. You want to read that for us? This was on the auditor's Facebook page, and it was one of our auditors, Chris, wrote this.
I love this. This is so funny. And this is not the first complaint we've had, but I did suggest that you do send all complaints to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network so we can read this. But since it's a complaint, I felt the need to just, you know, Glenn, we should bring it to the people. All right. So here's Chris. Okay. I think you guys might get a kick out of this story. The horse I ride right now is a very nervous horse and can be reactive. And I found one thing that helps him calm down a little is when I play a podcast on my phone. I'm not sure if the noise distracts him or what, but it seems to calm him down a bit. Today was a cold, snowy, windy day. So once I got him inside, I decided to turn on Monday's Horses in the Morning episode because I hadn't listened to it yet. While grooming him, I sometimes remove his cross ties and ground tie him because he'll back up and pull on the cross ties, but still, it stays pretty still ground tied. So I had him ground tied and I was picking ice out of his tail when the Daily Winnies came on. And then Chili's Winnie came on. And I have no idea if Chili was saying, hey, come back to me, or hey, get the heck out of here. But whatever it was enough for Maverick. He quickly turned around and went to try to walk out the door. It took me a few minutes to try to calm him down after that. So Glenn, if you could give me a heads up when a Chili Winnie comes on, that would be great. Or maybe next time, if anyone else is in the barn when that happens, I'll have a that guy moment.
Hey, Chris, 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. There you go.
And I actually recorded that when Chili was all by himself, because if anybody leaves him, he doesn't even like it. Like, nobody likes Chili. He's the horse at our barn that is like the bottom of the pack. Even the pony is tougher and stronger.
3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. I am just here to help. I'm just here to help.
So what he's saying is, oh my God, come back here. I'm all alone. Even though I can still see you, you're too far away. So that is probably what your horse is responding to. He's like, I got to go save that guy. So really, your horse deserves a medal.
It's sort of like on the tech podcasts, they can never say the name of that Amazon device that sits on your table and you can order things with it and you can tell it to turn on music. Because if we said it right now and it was within range of that device, it would turn on and people, they've been trying, some of the tech shows that are really trying to have a little fun will try and get it to order things for people. So it's kind of like that. That's our version of that, playing Chili and upsetting the neighborhood. By the way, sorry, if you're playing our podcast to calm your horse down, well, there's your first problem. It's probably not the best. Oh, maybe NPR would be better for that, actually, I think.
Yes, yeah. You should listen to NPR, the sweaty balls, you know, that one.
Very slowly, just very quietly. We could do, you know what Jennifer's idea, was it your idea the other day, Jennifer, to do an entire show with our NPR voices? Jennifer, how did that come up the other day? How did that come up?
Probably because of this email.
No, it was
watching some comedy show on TV, and they were parodying an NPR show. It was on what's the show with the millennials?
Oh, yes. I can't remember.
The Great Indoors.
Yes, The Great Indoors. And they were parodying NPR, and we thought it would be really funny for you and I to do our best NPR voices.
I've got a news story, if you want, because you guys are gone Friday. I have Friday off, right?
Yeah, yep.
So you guys are going
Friday
to
and Monday. You got a long weekend, girl.
Oh, my God. Amazing. So I was thinking that... I need to cover a little bit of the Pegasus World Cup.
In NPR. Do it NPR.
So I thought maybe...
Wait a minute. I should have some music for this, like calm music. But the problem is I don't have any calm music.
Okay, so I'll just do it. All right. So this is really interesting. They did... excuse me. The posts have been drawn for the 2017 Pegasus World Cup, the $12 million race that is going to happen at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. And to let you know that California Chrome has drawn an outside post, post number 12. He will be ridden by Victor Espinoza, of course, trained by the great Art Sherman. Arrowgate, however, his rival, has drawn post number 1. Mike Smith is the jockey, which means he will automatically come in second place. Bob Baffert is his trainer. Prayer for Relief has drawn...
To be fair, I do not think that NPR would have thrown that in there. I'm just trying to be fair.
Oh, that's right. We're supposed to be fair and balanced today.
Crap.
I've already lost. I can't do it. It's like they never hired me in such a soothing way.
I almost missed it. Just like
that's how they get that fake news in there, Glenn, is they just calmly throw it in. So Arrowgate has post number 1, prayer for relief. Prayer for Relief has post number 2. Neolithic is in the 3-hole. Noble Bird is in the 4.
Okay, wait
spot.
A minute, I'm still stuck on prayer for release because I can just hear Larry Comas calling that one at the end.
Oh God, that's a really bad way to say it. The War Horses have 5 and 6. War Story is in 5. War Envoy is in 6. Shaman Ghost is 7. Semper Fortis is 8. Keen Ice in the 9 spot. Breaking Lucky is in 10. Aragon is in 11. California Chrome, as I mentioned, is in the 12 spot. Stanford is 13. Sea Raven, 14. Made from Lucky is 15. Now, I believe that... I thought there was only 12 horses.
I thought there was only 12, too, actually.
Some of those must be some in case of... Backups or something, yeah.
So what about Arrogate being all the way at one side and California Chrome all the way at the other? What's the talk?
Well, you know, the horse in the 1-hole, when you've got that many, they always talk about they're going to get pinned in, so they have to break really well. And, you know, Victor Espinoza is the king of breaking out and getting in a good spot. He's just always on point with the way he starts his horses. So I feel like even though he's way on the outside, which is kind of the talk, he's like, it's too far outside. Victor can ride that. He's done it before with California Chrome. He'll be fine. What I did find interesting about this race is what's really cool is there are, you know, they're going to have 12 horses run. And a lot of the horses, they've been trying to encourage the European horses to come over to run in this race. Well, the European horses don't run on Lasix, which is the drug that, you know, it's supposed to be to help bleeders, help horses with EIPH, which is exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhaging. So when they run so hard, vessels in their chest break, and then they bleed. So to keep that from happening, they've learned that Lasix is a drug that they run racehorses on. Well, it's also a diuretic, which people think, and they started abusing Lasix. I'm giving you a little history of Lasix here. They started abusing Lasix a little bit, and now pretty much every racehorse is run on Lasix because it's legal and people think it gives them an advantage. So at any rate, they have given an option if you do not run your horse on Lasix in the Pegasus World Cup, you get to have 5 pounds less than everybody else. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Isn't
there any takers?
I'm sure there will be. You know, you get Lasix right before the race, so I don't know who's going to run on it and who's not. But the 5-pound allowance for horses starting without Lasix basically is the Stronach Group and Revo, who's in charge of Gulfstream. They want to eventually see the race evolve into being completely free of race day medication. And last year, apparently, Gulfstream offered several 2-year-old races where race day medication was not allowed. So they're they're doing the right thing, and they're trying to get to where nobody runs on anything, and it's just fair across the board, because they say that horses that, you know, run with Lasix have an advantage. So they're trying to even out that advantage. And when I was reading, I was like, you know, I was thinking a pound or two. 5 pounds is a big deal. It's 5 pounds is like 3 lengths or something, is what they say. So it'd be interesting to see what horses run with it and what horses run without it.
So for people who don't follow racing a whole lot, who may not know about the whole pounds thing, do they try and make all the horses even?
So typically what happens is... Yes.
Does everybody wear the same weight otherwise in this particular race?
I think this race, everybody's going to have the same weight. It's like 125 pounds or something.
So the jockey hops on the scale. The jockey weighs 110. They add 15.
So, yeah. The horses will run with lead in their saddle pads.
Right.
Basically.
So it puts all the weight on the horses at the same weight.
So, well, what they do is, say you've got California Chrome, and he's running against a bunch of lesser horses. They will weigh down California Chrome, and they have like all sorts of ways that they figure out who receives the most weight. So they want to slow that horse down to even all the horses out. Sorry. So they'll all run on 124 pounds. So far, it looks like Aragon from Argentina is the only one that will have 119 pounds because he's from Argentina. They don't run with Lasix in Argentina. So far he's the only one at 119. So it is a big advantage to have less weight up there. And they've done calculations on how many pounds equal how many lengths ahead. So a horse carrying 119 may get 3 strides, you know, basically in front of the other ones. But Lasix, they're like, oh, well, that'll get us 3 strides ahead too. So, you know, it just kind of depends on what people say, but yeah, it's illegal in Argentina. And so Aragon is from there. And so they're just going to run him without it. So he is the one confirmed that will run without Lasix. But it's also horses that, like, okay, Aragon is the biggest horse in Argentina. So he'll carry 130 pounds in a race where a lesser known horse or one that is not as successful will carry 120. So carry 10 pounds less to the handicappers, people that set the weights, will try to kind of even everybody out. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it's sort of like when I played golf and I was so bad, they would give me strokes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Like, here you go. Hey, just hit it again. Just go
They
ahead
would say,
it.
Okay, automatically you can take 5 strokes off your score because they knew I was going to be in 150 anyway, that I was going to be nowhere near anybody else when I'm digging my water out of the pond. Or my balls out of the pond. Yes.
They evened it up.
Yeah. Okay. Got
exactly.
It. Got it. Well, that was the best explanation I've ever had of that, actually.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't even.
Well, that comes
if
Saturday,
wrong,
people.
If
Saturday
I am wrong
night.
About any of that, yeah, just send your complaints to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network.
If she's wrong, I wouldn't know it. So go ahead and complain to Jennifer.
I could be. Well, the race is Gulfstream Saturday, the 28th. It's race 12. It's 5:40 local time. So that's Florida time, 5:40.
Yep.
So
going to be on NBC, I believe. So you can check it out there. Hey, did you hear about the group or the horse that was stuck in the snow 7,700 feet up on McCall's Boulder Mountain in Idaho?
No, so because I no.
He and his horsey friend decided to, open the gate and leave. And they ended up 7,700 feet up, stuck in the snow. They had a ton of snow up there. And some snowmobilers came by and found the horse stuck in the snow. They found one, not the other one. And so 5 days, the weather was so bad, they could not get a rescue set up. And the horse was... The snow was so deep, it was like up to his belly. He couldn't walk. It was up to his belly. So the snowmobilers kept bringing them food up and stuff and trying to keep them alive till they could get a rescue mounted. And they actually got the local large animal rescue there in, it's the Idaho Horse Rescue, and together to get up there. They took like 5 or 6 snowmobiles up there. They finally had a clear day where they could get the Salmon River helicopters in, and they managed to tranquilize this horse. They managed to get the harness on it, and they airlifted the horse out, and the horse is going to live. They said he's expected to make a full recovery. He was in pretty bad shape. You know, he's stuck in the snow and the cold for 5 days and not able to move, but they had been able to feed it a little bit. So they managed to rescue it. They have not seen the other horse, which, oh, by the way, is a gray, almost white horse. So they said that finding it in the snow is going to be difficult. But they did to rescue the one, and there's video of the helicopter picking the horse up. And thank God they tranquilized it, because I don't think he'd have been too happy otherwise. But it was pretty impressive seeing them. And these guys were up to their bellies in snow trying to rescue this horse. So good for them. A bunch of snowmobilers who did a good thing. There's been just been such a ton of snow up in parts of the country. It's just been snowing like crazy.
Well, that reminds me of the time that Amy was on the side of a mountain and she saw some horses that were stuck down in this ravine. They were snowed in because of an avalanche, and Amy and Ty brought hay to them, and eventually the whole town came together.
You've
and
been
like
watching
built
Heartland
some steps.
Again, haven't you?
They built steps to walk the horses out with the snow, and they like totally dug it out, and the whole town was like, just leave them alone. And it was like this one guy's horses, yeah. And he didn't
She's
care
been
that they
watching
were dying.
Heartland again.
And it was really amazing how the whole town came together to save these like several horses that kept dying because of the avalanches. And yeah, it was good.
Let's hear from our sponsor at Fairfield Inn, and then we're going to talk a little bit about packing, speaking about being in the snow and deep in the country. We'll be right back. The Horse Radio Network is excited to announce a new partnership with the Fairfield Inn North by Marriott in Lexington, Kentucky for Road to the Horse and Rolex. The Fairfield Inn North is right off Newtown Pike and Route 64 near the Cracker Barrel and only 10 minutes from the horse park the back way, you know, the low traffic way. The Fairfield Inn North has spacious rooms that are being completely renovated now and will be ready in time for Road to the Horse. Plus, the Fairfield Inn North offers complimentary breakfast, a free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, a huge free parking lot, a business center, indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, outdoor patio with grill, a laundry facility, and much more. The Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are 4 other dining options available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner right around the corner. Just for listeners of Horse Radio Network, we have negotiated some great rates for you for Road to the Horse and Rolex. For Road to the Horse, we have the rate down from $160 to $120. If you're going to Rolex, we have the rate down to $199 from $260. There's a very limited number of rooms available at these rates, so call in your reservations as soon as possible. Search for Fairfield Inn North in Lexington, Kentucky. It's the one on Hackney Place. You must call in your reservation and ask for the Road to the Horse or the Rolex Early Bird Special. So that's the Road to the Horse or Rolex Early Bird Special. Search for Fairfield Inn North by Marriott. And I do have an update to that commercial. Actually, it'll change next week. We just found out this week that all of the rooms at that special rate are booked for Rolex and for Road to the Horse. They still do have some rooms left. You'll have to call and see what kind of rate you can get. But if you're in the area in Lexington for any other event, it's a great place to stay. But so thank you to everybody who booked rooms and who sold out that block. And we really appreciate you doing that as well. Well, our first guest today is a guy by the name of Andy Breland, who I got to tell you is a lot more manly man than I'll ever be. First of all, if you look at his picture, which we'll post in the show notes, you'll see that just looking at him, you realize he's more of a manly man than I'll ever be. But he also does some serious packing and camping and spends a lot of time in the woods and the great outdoors. He does some cool stuff when he's packing, too. And he may have had a little bit to do with the TV show. We're going to find out as well. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Good. It's good to talk to you again. Andy and I had a chance to chat last week about some other things, and I'm so glad you're on today to talk about packing. It's not something that I would guess that 98% of our audience has ever done.
If that many.
Yeah, and we're all horse people, right? But nobody has ever done this except for you.
Well, no, somebody taught me, so there's one other person.
Okay, good. tell us
a heritage. It's a heritage, and it's been handed down. I mean, and a lot of people think it's really a difficult thing, and I think a lot of people market it today as a difficult thing. But you kind of got to remember that an uneducated guy and a donkey settled the West.
There you go. So now you, how'd you get into packing? Was it something your parents did or grandparents?
No, I couldn't stand the city any longer and I moved to nowhere. And when you live in Montana, you have to have a horse. I mean, it's pretty much a state law, I think. And so we got a horse, and it stood in the yard and it looked through the window at me and I looked back at it and then, you know, horses are kind of like potato chips. You just can't have one. So we got it a friend, and then we got another friend, and then we bred some, and then we had a whole bunch of them. And my wife said, you know, they're really cute, but you got to do something with them. And all I know is growing up on the cover of every hunting magazine was a string of mules, and they all had elk antlers on it. And I thought, this is solve all the problems. And so that's kind of where we went from there.
You are part of a TV show. And by the way, by packing, maybe we should explain that for people who have no idea what we're talking about. So why don't you explain that?
The animal runs with a pack saddle on it, your pack stock. You lead them wherever your destination is, and you tie all your belongings, food, and equipment onto that animal and transport it via stock.
And that, is that usually horses, or is it donkeys and mules, or a little bit of everything?
You know, everybody uses whatever. I use more horses than the average commercial packer because I have riding stock for the family, and if I'm going to feed them, they're going to get used. So I have a mix of horses and mules. Most of the commercial guys run mules because they can carry more weight pound for pound.
And you said commercial packer. Well, there's a word. That's two things I have not put together before. So what's a commercial packer?
You get paid to do it.
And what are you packing then? What are you taking into the woods?
I contract pack. I'm not an outfitter. So every time I do a packing seminar or a clinic and I travel around and, you know, do that deal or people read my blog or whatever, they call up, hey, can you take me into the Bob Marshall? No, not an outfitter. Can't take people. I pack for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the Game Department, and the U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, okay. So what are you bringing fish in?
I do. I pack
really?
A lot of fish.
I was joking.
We stock the lakes and the Bob Marshall for, the recreationalists to go in and fish, and they always got fish. It's the never ending supply.
How do you bring them in on a pack? I just picture, this is what I picture, by the way, Andy, this is what I picture. I picture my wife's aquarium sitting on top of your mule, and I just don't see that as being very stable, all right? That's what I'm picturing.
Well, you know, the first time we did it, my daughter and I did it, and we actually volunteered to help them through Backcountry Horsemen. And so we showed up, and we were expecting something out of Lost in Space, the old TV show. You know, hoses and tubes, and, you know, and it was a pickup load of ice chest, and inside were some hefty trash sacks, and they were full of fish, and we were just staring at them, and the guy the biologist says, "What's the problem?" And we were going, "We're kind of thinking something a little more high tech should be going on here," and he says, "Well, I did use a zip tie." And
they won't get out. You'll be fine.
Yeah, no, where are they going to go?
Right.
And, you know, and we were actually, my son-in-law and I were getting ready to teach a pack class starting tomorrow night, and we were laughing about this exact thing yesterday at the store, and that, we were talking, because all the way up the trail, my daughter led one pack horse, and it had a set of ice chests. And what you do is that we have these industrial strength bags, and they're we double bag them, and we put the water and the fish in it, and then we over oxygenate them. We seal those bags up. We put them in an ice chest. We put X amount of ice in, depending on the miles that we're going to travel. It sounds really simple, but there's so much research and science behind it. They test all the oxygen going down the trail. We got X amount of time to move them. And then when we get to the body of water that we're going to release them in, we set that bag in the lake and let them acclimate to water temperature and cut them loose, thing born free, and they all swim away.
So it's similar to when you buy your fish at PetSmart. It's like that.
Just like going to Walmart or something.
Yeah. Wow.
And yeah, same thing, just on a bigger scale. When we're pulling a pack string of mules level full of fish, they told me last summer that there's an accountant with the state, and they figured up dollar value of my load, how much research went into all those fish, and that those fish are worth $100 a piece, which means my load I'm pulling down the trail is worth like $1.5 million in cargo.
All to make sure fishermen catch fish when they go fishing.
Well, yeah, there's a little more hidden behind that than that, but yeah, pretty much.
So, Andy, how much can a pack mule, because, you know, you're carrying these basically fish tanks on their backs, and water's heavy. You know, the fish are the lighter part of that.
8.8 pounds a gallon.
Yeah, how much weight can one mule carry?
A horse will carry statistically 20 to 25% of its body weight. And a mule will carry 25 to 30% of its body weight. That's statistics. But it's no difference than you and I. I mean, you work out every day at the gym. You know, you're a buff guy. You're, you know, a great shape.
Yeah, that's me, Andy.
I'm, you know, a big old... And I'm a big old guy, and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, you know, he should be able to carry 300 pounds in a backpack, you know, and I can for about 70 feet, and I fall over. Where you can go all day with the same amount of weight or more, it's conditioning. You know, we start as soon as the snow melts, running those mules up and down the trail, getting them all in shape to go. But, you know, I tell everybody goes, oh, you're overloading those animals, because they see the big canvas packs being tied on the side of the animals. They have no idea what's in it. They just see a giant volume of canvas. If Andy can pick it up, it's not too heavy for that animal.
Right.
You know, we normally shoot for 75, 80 pounds a side. I got some mules that run 125, 130 a side. And if you don't have that much on them, they're not happy. They're not even sweating yet.
How far do you have to go in? Like if you're delivering fish to a lake in the mountains, how far are you going? Is it a day? Is it 2 days?
We normally run about 25 to 30 miles a day, day in and day out. And when we're doing a big project, we'll run 10, 12 days straight.
Wow.
25 in, 25 out, 25 in, 20.
Okay. So now if you're camping in the woods, which I assume you are you... Are you ground tying? Are you high tying? How are you tying the mules, or don't you bother?
We high line them overnight because I'm allergic to walking, and I want them to be there when I wake up.
Right.
I mean, and I tell everybody when I teach a pack class, the most rewarding, confidence-building thing ever for me and horses was when I woke up that very first morning, unzipped a tent door, and they were still all standing there looking at me.
Do you pack in?
I mean, I've done it. That was paradise.
Do you pack in food for the horses and for the mules, or are they are you eating grass, or what are they doing?
D, all the above. It's kind of depending upon where we're going. You know, last year for myself personally and for those that I pack for, or the game department that's taken their own stock in and they needed me to resupply some hay, I packed probably 10 tons of hay into the Bob Marshall complex last year.
Wow. Do you put the hay bales on each side?
You know,
is that how you do it? You just put hay bales hanging from
the... A bale on each side.
Wow.
Yep.
Now, what about Dead End Express? I've never heard of this show. It's on Nat Geo, right? On National Geographic?
It was. We did one season of Dead End Express. I can honestly say that was like funnest. Is that a radio word? Can we say
sure.
funnest?
Sure. We can make up words. It's allowed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Of course you can.
You're on our show. You can do whatever you want.
Well, don't give me free liberty. You know, we could use an adult adjective. Filming the show was absolutely an awesome experience. I hung up on the guy trying to get me to do it like four times in a row. I thought he was trying to sell me something, you know. Finally, he said, don't hang up. It was a blast. I enjoyed it. If I ever had the opportunity to do another show, I would. It was more work than anybody will ever believe. And the problem is, and I can say this because I'm no longer under contract, the reason nobody heard of the show was Nat Geo did not promote it correctly. We have a huge following. People will come into the store and they'll walk in and I'll be standing there and they'll go, gosh, you look just like you did on TV. Well, yeah, I hope so. So there was a lot of stuff. You learn a lot of stuff. I don't know. It was, I still talk to everybody, cannot believe it took off. So I'm just going with, it was a pure promotional problem.
Now, so when you're filming like that, everybody's always curious, especially with reality shows, right? How much of it is real and right. How much of it is scripted? And so in this case, obviously you're packing. So it was, you know, there were some things happening along the way that were just happening, but is it a lot of, we
know,
need this shot?
Really didn't really care about the script.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And reality, just so everybody knows that's listening today, we actually film what's called a docuseries. It's based on fact. Most people have a real bad tainted taste of reality TV because they think of Jerry Springer.
Right.
And, you know.
Or the Kardashians.
And reality TV is basically unscripted. We have a storyline. We all sat by the campfire. And we said, you know, so tomorrow we're doing X. And we all go, yep. And okay, so we got a storyline. And that's as far as it goes, is that it's just not scripted. And ours was all based on fact. Like one episode we packed up and took supplies to the lookout tower that was being refurbished. And so the first run up the mountain, that's real. I mean, I got their food, I've got their tools, I've got, you know, et cetera, going up the mountainside.
Right.
The second run is plywood boxes wrapped in canvas, which is referred to as mannied, going up the hillside, because you can't do it in one take. It's over and over. So to answer your question, the first run is real. The second run, the third run, the fourth run is fabricated, kind of, if you will, because you can't take the guy his T-bone steak for dinner and then say, whoop, need that in the shot tomorrow, and turn around and take it away from him.
So you would do it again? Sense? You would do TV again?
Yeah, the crew that they sent me, the camera guys, they're the guys that do all of the hardcore stuff of, you know, underwater, you know, and all that. They were a great group of guys. Everybody clicked really, really well on the set, except one guy. And we're just going to go.
There's always one guy. Never
there's
fails.
Always one guy.
There's always one guy.
There's always. No, but it was really fun, you know, and they didn't understand horses. So the first couple days, they were trying to teach us to be TV stars, and we were trying to teach them to ride a horse. And then when the images started streaming to the production company back in New York, and their camera guys, they were bleeding out of their nose, their arm was all in a sling, you know, and the next thing you know, the plane lands, and I have to now pack an EMT with us. Because their insurance company saw the footage and thought somebody was going to die.
There you go. Well, you know, we had Julie, by the way, we're talking to Andy Breland of Trailhead Supply, and we're talking about packing and going a lot deeper than the woods than most of us have. We had Julie Goodnight on the show yesterday, and you're probably familiar with Julie. She's a clinician and been on our shows for years, and she does the TV show on RFD, and it's her 10th anniversary. So we had her on the Stable Scoop show. You'll hear that this week. And we're talking about behind-the-scenes stuff, and she said every time we get a horse in that the problem is they won't go in the water, and we go to film it, they walk right in the water, and we have to go, okay, now what?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she said every time.
You know, and so what you got is, you know, the camera guys all spread up, and they go up this hill, and so we got them on horses so they can keep pace with us, and then all of a sudden they'll jump off and tie their horse to some tree somewhere. Well, we ride by, and the horse goes ballistic, and all over the soundtrack, you hear these horses screaming at each other, you know, they whinny, you know, back and forth. Because they're a herd animal and it's their friends, and we're screwing up the sound, and they go, "You got to make them be quiet."
I'm tying yours to the tree.
Yeah,
yeah. I said you tied him to the tree.
Tell those horses to shut up.
So if you watch it, so here's the inside scoop. This is what you get. If we're still on YouTube, and so if you go to YouTube, you can watch Deadhead Express. And so when you watch, every now and then, you'll see just a saddle horse tied to the back of either mine or Chuck's pack string. And that's because the camera guy jumped off, and to keep him quiet, we had to tie him onto the pack string. So you see this long string of mules, and they're all loaded full of the manied canvas loads. And then at the back, there's a paint with a riding saddle tied to the back. And that's because the only way we can keep our sound bites clean was to tie that animal to that string.
Well,
or
Andy,
the camera guy would lay on the ground underneath like a spruce tree or something, so he could film up and get that angle with the feet and the hooves and, you know, yada yada. Well, when they went by, all the horses would look down because, of course, they're a prey animal and they think something's under that tree that's going to eat them. And so then they go, "That was great, but can you tell the horses not to look at me?" Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll get right on that.
I think when people started years ago, after Monty and everything, started talking about horse whispering, that non-horse people took that literally, that you could just whisper to them and they listen.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't understand.
Yeah, Andy, what? Before
they,
we run out
really
of time.
They don't understand the animal. I mean,
I just,
let's be real. Oh,
I think we have a little delay here. Andy, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you, if somebody's interested in this, if they really like going deep in the woods and they like packing and they want to camp, how do people start, and what do you tell them? What's the right way to start and what's the wrong way to start?
The right way to start is go find somebody that can help hold their hand and mentor them. I find the biggest obstacle is you know, they don't have that confidence. You know, I get calls constantly. We have internet presence through Trailhead Supply, you know, because we sell online as well, but, and, you know, locally. But folks come in the store or they call online, they find me, and they want to come to the Bob Marshall. And I know you guys are out east, and trail riding out east is way different than it is in the Rockies.
Right.
And they call up and they go, "What do you do with your horses overnight?" And I go, "What do you mean?" And they go, "Well, you know, here we rent a little place. It comes with a paddock, a little fence thing. You know, we put them in this little square. What do we do with them? How do you feed them?" Back to the questions you started with. Well,
right.
We just turn them loose. You know, Bob Marshall is almost 2 million acres. It's like two Rhode Islands pushed together. It's 1,742 miles of maintained trails. Well, when it's time to eat, if you're grazing, you just turn them loose. And they go, "Well, do they come back?" Sometimes.
Sometimes. On a good day.
My horse, go walk.
My horse would be outside of that, or at least at the very edge of that 17,000 miles.
He'd be gone. Zeus would be trying to escape the forest.
Nice stretch in the morning. Good morning. Hey, where's the horses? I don't know. Somebody get the, drone.
Like last summer we were out. I got up, I poured a cup of coffee, and they were all out grazing, picture perfect, and I heard splashing, and they all went across the river hobbled. So who got to swim at 6 a.m. in really cold water to go get them? Because I told them, you need to be on this side. And they just all stared at me.
Yeah.
The grass is always greener. but no, confidence, find somebody. Backcountry Horseman, for example, is all over the country. There's some super knowledgeable people to help you. Feel free to contact me. I'll point you in the right direction. You know, there's some pack clinics. And the one thing that you need to know if you're getting into this, every packer knows it all. Just ask them. I go through this at every sportsman expo that I talk at. I start off, I'm talking, and somebody raises their hand, and I said, "You got a question, sir?" And he says, "Well, I would tie the knot this way." That's great. My show, I'm on the stage.
Andy.
So anyway,
we're about out of time here, Andy. Where can people find it? What's the website? It's Trailhead Supply, right?
.com.
Okay, trailheadsupply.com.
Really simple because I made it up.
There you go. But if you're looking at doing any packing or serious trail riding, definitely check out the website. The equipment that you're going to need is there. And as you can tell, Andy's a good resource and a fun guy to talk to. He'll help you out. Andy, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about a world that, you know, again, 99% of horse people never see, but would be so cool to see.
Your cell phone doesn't work. You're in there all by yourself. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's the most ultimate place to get unplugged.
Do you know a guy by the name of Jared Rogerson?
I don't.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask. He's a singer, and also he works for the department of something. He tracks moose and stuff up in that area and packs in all the time. And I'm going to play one of his songs called Above the Timberline next, but I didn't know if you knew him. But Andy, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and what fun.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
All right. Take care, Andy.
See ya.
That's the second day in a row, Jennifer, that we've had a little bit of a delay with our guests on Cullen Studio. I don't know what that's about. But Andy.
No, I know what to do about that, Glenn. I got it.
Okay.
There's the complaint department.
Oh,
and you send
okay.
It
yeah.
At horseradionetwork.com.
I'll do that.
Never fix it.
They'll be right on it.
It was annoying yesterday. Right. His was only a little bit. Yesterday's was really bad. But yeah, what a neat guy, huh?
Very cool. What a cool dude. And
if you're
going to
pack, you want to pack with him. That's what he's talking about.
If I'm going into the woods, Glenn, I'm going with that guy.
Yeah. And he kind of probably knows what he's doing and what to do when the bear attacks. He probably knows a little bit about that, too.
When zombie apocalypse comes, you want Andy on your side.
You know, I got to tell you, that's something I would not do without somebody that's done it before for the first time. Is like, I'm going to go on the week-long adventure into the woods with my horse and my pack animal. I'm going to have somebody along that's done that before. Doesn't sound safe to do your first time by yourself. Not something I'm volunteering for.
Somebody needs to know what they're doing.
Yeah. Jared Rogerson, who does it all the time. An appropriate song, I thought, for today called Above the Timberline. We'll be back.
The city offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home
above the timberline. In my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
That's Jared Rogerson with Above the Timberline. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. We want to just do a couple housekeeping things here, and then I have study show for the month of January. We can do that, and then we'll have our next recording for you here today. But the schedule is as follows. Tomorrow, we have the Horse Husbands Turned Upside Down episode for you with actual horse wives of horsey guys. First time that we're having women on the show, so that will
girl
be coming
power.
Up. Yeah, that's right. No live, though, Thursday and Friday. It'll just come out on your feeds. Friday, we have the Australian episode with you, or for you. And Jamie, you remember we were talking about those really tough women who were part of that show the other day, and all these women had done incredible things. Well, one of the guests who is competing at Road to the Horse this year is from New Zealand, and this will be on Friday's Australian episode. She has wing walked. Yes,
oh,
on an airplane,
God.
Taken off and landed and walked on the wing the entire time. So that is somebody who makes Chad. I bet you Chad would go, why would I walk on the wing? It's like, why would I be out there when I could be sitting in the chair? So, she's going to be on the show on Friday. And then Monday, we'll be coming to you live from Ada with all kinds of new products coming out in the market for the rest of this year. Well, a study show for January. This is a time of year, usually about the last day of the month. We take a look at all of the studies that have been done and money that has been wasted for the last month, because pretty much 99% of these we could have done ourselves and saved them all the money. And all I do is put study show in Google and take a look at the last month and read you the headlines. And then we kind of guess what the actual study was. So,
I just read ahead. I'm never going to be the same.
You're not supposed to read ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
Don't read ahead.
I saw one because I saw the word sex and it drew me in.
Well, there's always one study that involves sex every single month. There's always one study that involves sex, and there's always about 50 that involve food. And then usually every study will contradict the studies we had the month before. So let's get started. Studies show hot peppers could have big health benefits. All right, there you go. Do you eat many hot peppers?
I have heard that if you eat spicy food, it will actually speed up your metabolism and burn more calories. Now, I've heard that. I've never read a study about it, though, so maybe I should.
Well, there you go. Here's your study. Now I found the study for you, although I don't have the link, so you have to go find it yourself. All right, studies show, this is the one she was reading ahead. Studies show that sex toys are safer compared to child's toys.
That disturbs me in many ways.
So what that tells me is take all the child's toys away because they are dangerous and give them the sex toys. That's what that study
that
says.
That is right not there. At all what I would say.
No, that's what the title all. Says.
What bothered me, yes, you're exactly right. Sex toys are safer than child's toys. What bothers me about it is who was like, you guys, we got to do a study. You know, let's compare children's toys to sex toys and see which ones are safer for children to play with. That's not okay. Those things should not go together.
Just I knew you'd love that one. Scientific studies show how writing in a journal can actually benefit your emotional and physical well-being. Journaling is becoming a new thing. I hear about it all the time now. It's come back. And this is actually physically writing in a journal, not typing. So it's become a thing. And people are selling very expensive journals for you to buy. By the way, you can get a 29-cent notebook and do the same thing. I'm just saying.
I don't want a journal. I don't want to put a pen down. It's annoying. I'd rather type.
Plus, you know, 90% of the things that happen in our lives, I don't want to remember. That's the other thing.
Exactly. I don't want to go back and read these terrible thoughts that I had at all. And okay, since you brought it up, I used to journal all the time. And, you know, you write down when you put it down, somebody can read it someday. You know, like if you die, somebody's going to go through your stuff.
You know what you need to do, Jamie? Wow. You need to say these things instead of writing them down. And that way no one will ever hear them.
Yeah, that's what I do. But no, I had a boyfriend actually go. I lived with my brothers and I had a house and with them. And my boyfriend got there before I did, and they let him in the house and like, just go up to your room, you wait for. He read all my journals.
That's not
stuff that I want anybody to read.
No, because some of that stuff was about him.
Yes.
Did any of it attack his manhood?
Yeah, I don't think I ever wrote he has a small wiener, but
I didn't say that. You went there. I just was saying. Studies show.
I never saw it because we weren't married, Glenn.
Studies show that saunas can protect against heart and brain diseases.
Ooh, I'm getting naked in the steam. Let's go.
Studies show benefits of exercise increase with age. Okay, now I want to know, who was the person that said, the older you get, you shouldn't be exercising, and we need to do a study to prove it?
You know what? I'm going to fund that. I'm going to give you $100,000 to prove that. Who wasted their money?
I know. Research shows that people who use... You're going to love this one, too. Research show, you and Helena. Research shows that people who use profanity are more honest than those who don't.
It's because it comes out of our mouth whether we like it or not.
You are like Honest Abe. You are like the most honest person around. You and Helena both.
I do believe you're the one who swore the most on this show.
Oh, that's true. Well, look how honest I am. Studies show Instagram makes food more delicious. Yes, you heard that right. I don't know how I didn't read. Gay men may be paid less than lesbians who are paid more. Now,
they probably deserve every bit of it.
First of all, who decided to even do that particular study? Where'd they come up with that one? And Jennifer, you're going to hate this one.
La 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 la.
Studies show harmful effects of ramen noodles.
No kidding. You mean like little plastic cardboard noodles that then you put hot water on and they turn to jelly? That's not healthy.
Let's be honest. How many people would die of starvation in college if we didn't have ramen noodles?
You know, I found that as a vegetarian in college, you can't really. Okay, good job. I found that the angel hair pasta that sat right next to it was just as affordable as the ramen noodle, because as a vegetarian, you can't eat ramen noodles because the packets have meat in it.
Do they have vegetarian? The chicken ramen noodles have no chicken.
There's chicken inside in there. Fat in it. Look at the ingredients in the powder. Now, the only one that didn't have meat in them was the Oriental, which, can we even say that anymore?
Yeah, well, apparently ramen noodles does. Healthy ice cream said to be good for your heart. So ramen noodles are bad, but ice cream is good. So that's what I took out of that.
Where does one find healthy ice cream?
Studies show social media is ruining lives and careers.
We needed
to spend money on that study. When you post yourself half naked and call your boss a total jerk or livelier than that, you're going to get fired. It's going to affect your career. Just what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here we go. This is the most bizarre one of the day. Whale study, that's whale like the animal. Whale study suggests menopause may exist so grandmas can babysit.
What? That just didn't even sentence didn't make sense.
I read it 5 times, and I copied it exactly like the headlines. Whale study suggests menopause may exist so grandmas can babysit. I am not kidding.
My mama needs to read that study.
Facebook studies show that Facebook can make us more narrow-minded. Well, that is certainly true after the last couple
of weeks.
Wait
a second. I have to share this political thing that I haven't actually read.
Right, exactly. And then the last one, and this is, you're going to love this one too. Studies find, now people spent money on this, studies find cutting calories may help monkeys live longer. I don't make these up. They're actual studies.
I need to. God. I'm going to Google that right now and see who paid for that study.
All right. Coming up next, we have something in an effort to also make this a stress-free zone today and to be all lively and happy and to talk about really cool, special things. We are going
to Google that. Google that.
We are going to bring to you the second part, the second winner in the horselovers.com Horse and Rider Makeover Sweepstakes. This is the audio off the TV show, and I actually met the director the other night, of Equestrian Nation. It's on RFD. It's the number one television series about horses in the country. For 11 years, they've been producing an equestrian magazine-style show that features stories about different breeds, horsemen, riding disciplines, plus helpful veterinarian information, training tips, and just about everything horse-related. This popular show continues to entertain RFD TV audiences through award-winning photography and solid equestrian knowledge and experience. If you don't have RFD, go to RFD. If you don't have RFD TV, go to rfdtv.com to learn how to watch in your area. For more information on the television series, go to equestriannation.tv. So we played the first one a couple of weeks ago. Horse Lovers did this thing over the holidays, like they usually do a sweepstakes. This time it was you could nominate organizations or your favorite barn or whoever to win $10,000 worth of merchandise. And you don't get to see the video, but in the middle of the video, they do the reveal where they have all the merchandise laid out, and it's $10,000 worth of stuff laid out in the barn, and the people walk in and see it for the first time. But this organization does a tremendous job. They're really cool, and I think you're going to enjoy hearing about it.
Hello, I'm John Moncada from horselovers.com. We're here in Southern California and about to give away over $10,000 of tack and equipment to a therapeutic riding center. The center is called Ahead with Horses, and they're the next winner of our holiday makeover sweepstakes.
Ahead with Horses, where AHEAD stands for Accelerated Habilitation, Education, and Development, was started in 1968 by Liz Helms. It has a long history of providing unique, highly motivating, and effective therapy through horses, along with education and recreation for disabled and special needs children. Through gymnastics on a moving horse called vaulting, even severely disabled children learn to lead more independent and productive lives.
The kids come here for that special therapy. They bond with these horses. They love it. They get excited. They learn things that they haven't done before, and there is something special about the horse and the kids. It shows, you see it in their faces, you see them willing to do things that maybe in physical therapy that they all usually have, it's different.
I was looking for something for my daughter because she has low muscle tone, and I wanted her to get into something that would be enjoyable, but would also help her, you know, develop some strength.
Strengthens his muscles and it's very good for his back. He has physical problems, he cannot walk.
And the horses actually respond so beautifully to the kids. You know, they're so gentle with them.
And they trust the horse. They relinquish control to the horse. They surrender to the horse. And it's just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Physically, this very specialized horse therapy takes children with disabilities through a complex series of movements, while the horse rhythmically moves the body in a manner similar to the human gait. This improves posture, balance, and muscle control.
The gait of the horse naturally mimics the human pelvis. So it gave Avery the opportunity to feel what it felt like to walk like a human before she could even walk. And it gave her that input. So that helped her to walk. She walked very shortly after starting riding with the head of the horses. And her speech increased because it's also a sensory experience. So she's on the horse, she's out in nature, she's feeling calm, she knows where her body is in space. And that is, I'd say, one of the biggest benefits to riding for her.
Mentally, it increases concentration, improves sequential thought to help children learn to speak and also to develop spatial awareness.
Your brain is being stimulated, you're more likely to retain knowledge, and one of the areas it stimulates is the area for vocalization. So a lot of the kids start making more noise and start talking more because they've been sitting on a horse.
Emotionally, children learn to bond with the horse, the instructors, and the volunteers, building confidence and trust. Most importantly, the sheer sense of joy raises their spirits and brings smiles to their faces. It nurtures a positive self-image, and for the first time in their lives, children with severe disabilities often experience a sense of independence.
She had scoliosis, so she had a curve in her spine. We had her in a back brace for a year. It was a 32-degree curve, and this is core strengthening, so she's having to use her muscles and work them and strengthen them. And with developmental horse therapy at a head with horses and her back brace correcting it, she's now out of brace and her spine is straight, which is beyond what our expectations were for that treatment.
My heart actually goes out to all the parents, you know, who have children with disabilities, because it's a lifetime of care.
24/7.
Yeah, and I just I try to talk to them as much as possible and give them support.
But I think the animals, I think they somehow understand, and it's really not explainable. It's not really something you can explain, but it works. It works.
It's time to show Ahead with Horses what horselovers.com brought to them as the next winner of the Holiday Makeover Sweepstakes. The people from Ariat sent these Heritage Roper boots, and Back on Track provided the riding gloves. The kids loved the Breyer Stablemates Mystery Foal Surprise, where you don't see the foal until you open the box.
Every kind of kid, you know, ever dreams of a horse, whether they have the ability to have a horse or not, they start with Breyer. It's amazing.
A good lunge line is essential to the work they do here, and Centaur provided their cushion web lunge line. The staff received paddock boots from Dublin.
Perfect, it's very comfortable.
And all-weather boots from Equistar. This beautiful bridle is the Henri de Ravel training bridle. And for the horse's therapy, these rechargeable vibrating boots by Horsewear, called Ice Vibe, improve circulation for the lower leg. Horse with a Z provided rain jackets and pants, rubber feed pans, lead ropes, and bit guards. Kelly Silver Star D-ring snaffles were also added, along with Kensington protective fly masks and protective fly boots. Alexis Tech gloves were provided by Mountain Horse. And Perry sent their specially engraved leather halters, nylon trailer ties, and leather girth extenders. Pessoa's leather oil will keep their tack in good condition, and Pessoa's ultimate fly sheet with mask was for their pony, Justin. New red stall guards for the entire barn were sent from Roma. Shires provided dressage markers for the arena, bridles, sweat scrapers, tail bags, grooming mitt, saddle racks, and their ball feeder, which keeps the horses free from stable boredom. Stubbs' stallmate card holder will keep everyone organized. And from Tough One, bucket hangers, muck forks, collapsible barrels, and steerhead with lariat ropes will increase activities at the center. Tough Rider provided mesh fly sheets for the horses and paddock boots for the staff. Weaver sent their Stacy Westfall activity ball and a professional set of horse body clippers called Lister Legend Clippers.
It's a full body clipper when we have to shave our extra hairy horses. It'll make it go a lot quicker than our tiny little one.
HLZ provided a head with horses, show sheen, fly spray, and hoof flex natural spray from Absorbine. And also Himalayan rock salt licks for the horses.
Thank you from all of us. This was outstanding. Yeah. Truly we are blessed.
Our vendors are behind us 100%.
Let's hear it for them.
We are very, very grateful for all of the donations and all of the different companies that donated through you guys to us. And all of our horses are very thankful too. So we're thrilled and excited and can't wait to use all of our new goodies to help take care of our horses. And they're our number one priority because they're what helped the kids out. And without them, the kids' lives wouldn't be changed. So thank you for helping us help them.
And I have to tell you, the volunteers are so happy with their boots. They're all talking about the boots that they got today. So, yeah, thank you so much for taking care of the volunteers. A lot of people don't think about them.
Our volunteers are fantastic. We have a very small staff. It's 2 full-time people and 3 part-time people. And the rest of it is volunteers. Without the volunteers, we could not possibly serve as many children as we're able to serve.
These children make progress, sometimes big and sometimes ever so small. Whether it is a child taking his first steps, another sitting still for a moment longer, or suddenly a smile from a non-responsive child, these are the gifts of a lifetime.
And it gives the kids incredible confidence, and you just see the happiness just emanating from their little faces. And I've seen children who couldn't even lift their arms 1 year, and then the next year all of a sudden they could lift them. And it's always a tearjerker, but they're tears of happiness.
And so Ahead with Horses continues to be a beacon of light to parents who live in the shadow of never-ending care and responsibility. Ahead with Horses brings not only hope, but measurable results in the lives of disabled and special needs children. Their philosophy is grounded in what horse people know the world over. Step inside of a horse's space, and you've become a part of limitless possibilities. His energy, his faithfulness become yours. And so it is with these children who have crawled inside themselves and deserve to find a way out. There are no boundaries here. Everyone is lovingly encouraged, even challenged, to try their best. And that let's do it attitude can produce a result that no one could have imagined.
You know, you see the parents and how proud they are of their kids, of the least little achievement, and it's huge. You know, a kid being able to strengthen, to lift his head up is huge. I had to vow to myself, do not cry, do not cry, do not cry.
The meaning of life is giving and receiving love, and this is, to me, the most perfect visualization of that. Thank you.
Ahead with Horses, seeing miracles unfold before your very eyes.
So just when you think that you're on social media and you see that all the hate in the world, of people hating each other because of Republican and Democrat, you hear this and you realize that it doesn't matter, right?
Just incredible. What an amazing thing they do. Whew.
And you know, it also makes you appreciate, like, you know, your son who runs around and plays and can do all of that stuff, too. You know,
absolutely.
It just, but there's these selfless people out there helping kids who get to vault on a horse. And some of these kids, you know, they, some of them are autistic, some of them have physical issues, yet they actually have them doing vaulting things on a horse, which I'm not sure I could even do. So
I know, right?
Very, very cool. Very cool. We have something that's really cool, too, here in the Horse Radio Network family, especially with Jennifer. Everybody that's been a longtime listener remembers Beaker, Jennifer's horse that she's had for years and years. And then a little, how old is she? 11, 12, Jennifer?
Nine, I think.
9-year-old girl in our neighborhood, ironically, ended up with Beaker. After going through another party, and Beaker gets sold.
Well, for those who do, backing up even further, Beaker was Jennifer's old horse, and she bought him kind of as a trail mate and decided that she wanted to go and do more things that Beaker maybe did not want to do, like jump or like gallop fences and do cross country,
like
and
dressage,
eventing and dressage. Yeah. And bless his little heart, he's as cute as can be, little downhill quarter horse. With the best temperament and the best mind and just a really sweetheart of a guy, but wasn't going to give you, you know, nines on your Canada.
Yeah, when
part.
Did I, can I ask again, why did we sell him again? I'm just like, geez, you just sold me, Jamie. I want to buy him back.
I don't think his new mommy's giving him up anytime soon.
No.
This you know, is the best that you could hope for when you sell a horse.
This horse ended up where this horse, I said to Jennifer this morning, and what we're talking about is there was a picture we posted on our Horses in the Morning page of this little 9-year-old as a fox hunter with her mom, which Beaker loved to do. And they gave him a clip job, and on his butt, they have a fox's head. Yeah. And it's so cute. It is the cutest darn thing ever. And this little girl on Beaker is so cute. And Beaker looks like, he's got the expression on his face like, I got this. What's all the big deal? I can do this every day.
He doesn't even look like, if you've ever fox hunted or been on a trail ride with a million horses and, I don't know, a billion dogs, this is a high stress, it can be a high stress environment, which is why most people that fox hunt drink heavily in the morning. And it's always cold and they always do it really early and it's always like foggy and there's kind of, you know, wet grass everywhere, and it's a beautiful thing, but most horses like are snorting the entire time. Yes. This horse is not.
Nope. Could care less.
He just like, he looks like he's half asleep. It's just like I said, when you sell a horse, this is what you hope for.
This horse ended up where this horse belonged, you know, in this little 9-year-old's hands, who absolutely needed a horse like this to go fox hunting. You know, how often have we talked about the green on green situation where the mother, and give kudos to mom who bought the right horse for the child, didn't buy a green one, right? I mean, this mom deserves an award and probably thanks Jennifer every day for all the training she put on Beaker to go out and do this. And it just worked out beautifully. But I think there are times when Jennifer's riding Nigel right now that she wishes she has Beaker back every once in a while.
It's all part of the process.
Especially when jumping. But you can go see that picture.
Hey, we jumped good the other day.
He did. He did a little better the other day.
He was good the other day. We jumped lots of little things. He's getting it figured out. Yesterday, I caught him in the act. We've been working very, very hard at building confidence over obstacles because he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his ability to do anything. He voluntarily, while hanging out in his field, because his jumps are in his field where he's turned out, was walking back and forth over one of his little tiny jumps. It was so
was
cute.
Was he just pacing the fence for waiting for dinner?
No, he was just, like, I call him Mr. Busybody, because when he's outdoors, and this time of year, there's really no grass to speak of, so they have hay,
And I put the hay in lots of piles in the field. I don't just make one big pile. We have like six piles in each field.
Make him walk.
So he just goes from pile to pile to pile, eating all day and all night. And I try to set them up so that there are things in the way to get from pile to pile. So encourage him to navigate. Well, he would always go around. I could see where he would go because there would be footprints in the sand. Yesterday, he didn't bother going around. He just went right over top of the obstacle and kept right on going to his hay pile. So he's gaining. I'm just so excited.
Can you tell?
Our good boy. What a good boy.
All right, very good. Well, we are going to head out of here. As I said, there'll be shows the next couple of days. We will not be live, though. We'll be back live on Monday from Philadelphia, and we'll talk to Jamie a week from today. Yeah, a whole week off.
Gosh,
what are you going
to
do with yourself?
I need to go on vacation. I'm going to clean a stall of a Marina Fold twice a day.
Every day. Yeah, but do you love it? You love playing with that little baby.
I do, but it is like, I told Chad, I said, I feel like I got a part-time job, you know, because I go over there in the morning after taking care of my farm, then I got to go take care of them, and then I have to go back in the afternoon.
And then you have to come home and put Zeus back in where he's supposed to be when you get home.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, man, by the way, yes? For those who are thinking of going to Rolex, it's time to start booking your flights, you guys. And Jennifer and Glenn, you guys are going to be very happy with me because I just bought tickets yesterday from Phoenix to Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Louisville are the same distance from Lexington. Flying into Lexington typically doubles your cost. So if you fly into Louisville or Cincinnati, it's a lot cheaper. And they're both 80 miles away from Lexington. So there's your
and
hot
it's all highway. Between
it's all how you just get on the highway and you drive. So if you're going to rent a car anyway, you might as well, you know, you get your rental car for free, basically, if you fly into one of these cities. So I bought the ticket on Frontier Airlines.
We just flew Frontier, didn't we, Jennifer? Was it Frontier that we flew? No, it was Allegiant. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Allegiant,
yeah. Holy smokes, Frontier Airlines. My God. I flew back on them last time, and it was actually kind of funny because it's so little that they do for you. Like, hey, you want some water? Give me $10.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, the way Allegiant was, too. And every bag, you had to pay to have your overhead bags for in the plane.
Yeah, the Checa bag was $25 each direction, which is pretty standard these days. To put a bag in the overhead to have a carry-on was $30. And then I had to pick the seats, which was $12 each direction, because I actually wanted, well, I didn't want to, but I actually probably should sit next to my three-year-old who's coming.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, actually. Yeah.
So that was another $24. So I've got $50 for a check bag both directions, and then $24 per person round trip to get the seats. But guess how much one flight from me to fly from Phoenix to Cincinnati and back round trip, the flight, $69, $136 for the whole thing.
That would have been $500-$600 on United, if that, or more than that, probably.
So hot tip for you guys, fly into Cincinnati. If you have Frontier, use it because, oh my gosh, like it was so cheap. And so usually what do you guys usually pay for my flight to Rolex, and usually you send me a check for about $350 to cover the flight. It's usually $350 to $400 for me to fly.
Yeah, at least that.
$370 for Lukey and I round trip, picking our seats and having check bags.
Now, you're going to have to pedal to get here. But, you know, that's how the propellers work, because you guys all have
pedals.
Remember
that wing walking you were talking about? Yeah, I need you to get out there and... Yeah.
Just can blow. You crank that thing for us? Because we can't get it to go. We did. We flew Allegiance the same way. And by the way, if you want to fly really cheap, Allegiance is an option too. But don't expect water. Don't expect peanuts. Nope. Don't expect any of that stuff.
And it takes forever to board the plane. Forever!
Yeah, for some reason, it just took forever. And I don't know why, because nobody was putting... You know how if you fly Southwest, those overhead bins are so packed, people can't put any more crap in them, right?
Right.
If you fly Allegiant, those overhead bins were empty because nobody wants to pay the $30. It was...
it well, was Chad something. Says that Allegiant, he's like Allegiant Air, where they charge you for a seatbelt.
Exactly. Do you know there were no tray tables? They were all gone. They were removed. There were no tray tables.
What?
I'm not kidding. There were no tray tables. I don't know.
Well, plug for American Airlines. They're letting you do your first bag free now.
Are they? Well, they're trying to compete with Southwest, who lets you do, you know, each a bag free too. And you don't have to pay for your carry.
If only they paid their employees as much as they pay Southwest employees.
Does Southwest make more?
No, you know, Delta and United make, to like a Delta and United pilot, because they had all these agreements and they profit share, make over twice as much as American Airlines pilots.
That's why the tickets are so twice as much.
Exactly. Yeah. There's negotiations in the works right now, from what I understand. Angry employees who want to make more.
And apparently at Allegiant, we get the beginner pilots and, you know, yeah, Frontier. They're the ones who were flying Piper Cubs, and they just got up. They said, "Hey, look, you can fly these people around. It's not really much different."
There's some airline now that is letting people fly from New York to London for like $24 because they do a lot of cargo. But I can't remember the.
Do you have to sit in the cargo hold?
No, yeah. Chad was like, "Yeah, don't fly with those guys." Those guys don't know what they're doing. He's like, they're Chinese pilots that have not been trained.
Oh, good. Good. And you have to sit on the luggage. That's a little uncomfortable, too. It's
on. Chad's like, just don't fly with them. They have not serviced the planes. They do not have the same rules. He's like, those guys don't know what they're doing.
Ooh, WOW Airlines, $380.
It is. It's WOW, isn't it? I think it is, isn't it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Anyway, all right. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to y'all again on Monday.
I'll finish if you say one thing into the microphone. Come here.
Come on, Lucas.
Come here. I need you to say spay. Spay.
Spay.
Neuter.
Neuter.
Geld.
Geld.
Peace out.
Perfect. Now sing a song, Lucas.